Radio Prague News. Hundreds of people gathered in Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral on Friday to pay their last respects to former Finance Minister Eduard Janota. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has told the junior coalition party Public Affairs that if they continue to oppose key reforms, they will be asked to leave the government. And Public Affairs is to debate the conditions under which it will be prepared to remain in the coalition government. Hundreds of people gathered in Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral on Friday to pay their last respects to former Finance Minister Eduard Janota. Among those present were Prime Minister Petr Nečas, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg and former Central Bank Governor Zdeněk Tuma. The mass was celebrated by Prague Archbishop Dominik Duka. Mr. Janota, 59, died of a heart failure while playing tennis. As a highly respected non-partisan civil servant, he was in charge of drafting several state budgets for both centre-right and centre-left governments. After the fall of the Topolánek government in 2009, he served as finance minister in the caretaker cabinet of Prime Minister Jan Fischer. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has told the junior coalition party Public Affairs that if they continue to oppose key reforms, they will be asked to leave the government. According to the internet daily Aktuálně CZ, the Prime Minister issued the warning at Wednesday's meeting of coalition leaders, at which the junior party opposed the bill on health reform because of disputes over what should constitute standard and above standard health care. The Prime Minister reportedly told the party that unless agreement on the bill was reached within a week, they should leave the cabinet. The two stronger parties in government, the Civic Democrats and Topo 9, have repeatedly criticised Public Affairs for playing the role of an opposition party within the government in order to increase its flagging popularity with the public. Meanwhile, members of the junior coalition party Public Affairs are to meet over the weekend to confirm the party's new leadership and debate the conditions under which Public Affairs would be prepared to remain in the Nečas cabinet. Following the loss of two ministers over a corruption scandal, Public Affairs is demanding a broad cabinet reshuffle and four ministerial posts for itself, conditions which the two stronger parties in government find hard to accept. Although the three-party coalition has agreed to shelve its internal problems for the time being, Public Affairs has not yet committed to supporting the government in a vote of confidence expected to take place in June. Prime Minister Petr Nečas and opposition leader Bohuslav Sobotka met on Friday to debate the pension reform and ways of curbing the election campaign expenditures of political parties, which the cabinet would like to push through Parliament. The opposition has long complained that it was not consulted in advance about key reform bills and had threatened to block them in the Senate where it has a majority. Mr. Sobotka said the talks had also covered the ongoing political situation, but he declined to provide any details. The meeting comes amid speculation regarding growing problems within the centre-right governing coalition. The 10th annual Prague Fringe Festival opened in the Czech capital on Friday, offering audiences 9 days of comedy, theatre and music in different venues in the city's Lesser Quarter. This year, the festival brings together close to 50 artists from 15 countries, including the United States, Great Britain, Spain, Canada, Australia and New Zealand. The hour-long performances are innovative, very visual and highly entertaining, aimed to attract a mixed audience and overcome language barriers. This year's performances include Cooking for Love, Life is Too Good to Be True, and There's No Such Word as Can't. Finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend is expected to be partly cloudy with intervals of rain and shine and day temperatures between 17 and 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borůvka. Coming up in today's program, the Komoro Festival, a celebration of Roma culture, is currently underway in Prague. We have all the latest business news, and we take a look at one of the Czech Republic's freshest and hippest fashion labels, Lida. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. Prague is currently hosting the 13th annual Camoro Festival, a celebration of Roma culture coupled with serious debate about conditions for the Roma minority. Gypsy musicians from as far afield as Hungary, India, France, and Norway feature at this year's festival, which began with a reenactment of a traditional Romani wedding. Rob Cameron has more.
A troupe of gypsy musicians leading a procession into the Manes Gallery on the banks of the River Vltava on a sunny Sunday afternoon in Prague to help recreate a traditional gypsy wedding, or biav in the Romani language. Camoro organizers, working from period photographs and other materials, recreated a wedding from 1945, a somber year for Czechoslovakia's Roma, who were decimated in the Holocaust. Tomáš Bystrý is Camoro's head of PR.
What we're seeing here are all the customs of a traditional Roma wedding. What people ate, what was served at the wedding feast, what was traditionally said before the ceremony and during it. For example, the young couple would beg permission from their parents to marry. The parents would then give the couple their blessing, making the sign of the cross, before finally seeing them off into a new life as a couple.
Most of the 250,000 or so Roma living in the Czech Republic today can trace their roots back to rural gypsy communities from eastern Slovakia. Thousands of Slovak Roma migrated to Czech towns and cities after the Second World War, many leaving their customs behind. That uprooting has contributed to the sense of alienation felt by many Czech Roma, who were forcefully assimilated under communism and then banished to the margins of society under capitalism. Today, most live in substandard housing, have little formal education or decent job prospects. Jelena Silajic from the NGO Slovo 21, which organizes Camoro, says the festival is about much more than just music.
The aim of Camoro, of all this project, is to show not only music. No, this is a mistake when some people said, oh, this is a musician festival. No, this is just part of this festival. The aim of the festival is to show and to discuss Roma topics, because there are a lot of problems in this area, not only in Czech Republic, but in all the world. To be Rom isn't so easy. It's very, very difficult.
It is, of course, the infectious rhythms of the gypsy bands that draw the crowds each year, whether it's the concerts in Prague clubs or the musical parade that snakes its way through the capital streets. Camoro presents a fleeting but valued chance for the Roma to openly celebrate their unique culture.
Thank you for this report, Rob. And now I'm joined in the studio by Jan Richter, who has this week's business news.
Czech firms in the most technology-demanding industries posted the fastest revenue growth in 2010, according to government figures released on Thursday. Their revenues grew by 20% last year, amounting to 12.6% of total revenues of the country's manufacturing industry. Czech Industry and Trade Minister Martin Kocourek said the industry's boom, along with a higher foreign trade turnover, were the major factors behind the country's GDP growth of 2.2% last year. Mr. Kocourek also noted that productivity grew faster than salaries last year.
The Czech Republic's energy regulator this week came up with its first own estimate of next year's electricity price hikes. Deputy Chair of the Energy Regulatory Office, Blahoslav Niemeczek, said he expected the cost of electricity for households to rise by between 3.6 and 6% next year, while those for companies should see an increase of 6 to 8.8%. However, several other factors will affect the actual cost increase, namely the amount of Czech state subsidies as well as Germany's nuclear power policy. In fact, some analysts predicted that in 2012, electricity prices might go up by as much as 10%.
The news that potentially vast reserves of unconventional shale gas were discovered in a number of European countries sparked the interest of several international firms who are setting out to find out whether the Czech Republic could possibly be also sitting on any supplies of the gas. The Daily Lidové Noviny reported on Friday that the Czech Environment Ministry has received requests from three firms for licenses to explore shale gas and oil reserves in the country, most recently from the Australian-based firm BuzzGas, which would like to drill in northern Bohemia. Any large gas reserves could significantly diminish the country's dependence on foreign supplies, mostly from Russia. However, the majority of Czech experts remain skeptical and claim that for many years to come, shale gas extraction will be a purely academic matter.
The Gulf state of Bahrain is no longer an option for Czech firms looking to protect their fortunes from tax burdens back home. Czech Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek and his Bahraini counterpart, Sheikh Ahmed bin Mohammed Al Khalifa, on Tuesday signed an agreement to prevent tax evasion and double taxation. The two countries will exchange information on taxpayers registered in their countries. A spokesman for the Czech Finance Ministry said Bahrain was becoming attractive for Czech investors, particularly in the fields of transport infrastructure, electrical engineering, and textiles.
The Czech government has spent around 10 billion crowns, or more than $577 million, on the modernization of the Plzeň-Cheb railway corridor in western Bohemia that was supposed to provide a faster connection with Germany. The reconstruction took 4 years to complete, but as the Daily Lidové Noviny reported on Thursday, anyone traveling to Germany has to transfer at the border and continue on a slow local train. The reason for this is that Germany is modernizing another railway line that connects to the Czech network some 100 kilometers further south, near Domažlice in southern Bohemia. A spokesman for the Czech Transport Ministry said the money was well spent regardless of the missing connection. The Czech authorities are also planning to modernize the southern Munich-bound line as well. The project should be finished by 2024.
The state-owned Czech Railways on Wednesday posted a profit of 6 million crowns, or nearly $350,000, for the first quarter of this year. Czech Railways CEO Petr Žaluda said that the firm managed to make up for higher prices of fuel and electricity by lowering its administrative and personnel expenses. The biggest revenue increase was registered in passenger transportation, where Czech Railways cashed in 85 million Czech crowns more than in the same period last year. This week's business news with Jan Richter. You are listening to Radio Prague. In this week's arts, we venture into the world of fashion. While most design culture was wiped out during communism, young Czech artists have been busy closing this gap. The two fashion designers behind Lida, a hip label with a flagship store in Prague, talk about their work, their vision, and the Czech fashion scene. Not far from the National Theatre, tucked away on Bartolomejská Street, the small flagship store of the fashion label Lida boasts some of the most original, colorful, and hip clothing in the Czech capital. Run by two young designers, Lucie Kutalková and Lucie Trnková, Lida has been putting out its limited edition collections for nearly 7 years. The two designers both studied at the Academy of Arts, Architecture and Design in Prague. Lucia Kutalkova explains how the two were given a unique opportunity to establish their own label and retail space.
It was a relatively quick and easy process. A long time ago, I used to work for the original company Leader. They produced outdoor clothes, sleeping bags, winter jackets, clothes for mountain climbers, and so on. But even though they produced all of their stuff here in the Czech Republic, and it was of good quality, and they had their regular customers, it was hard for them to compete with the new companies who produced their stuff in much greater volumes and often had it made abroad. So they didn't want to give up the company completely. They offered me to take it over with the same name and the same space here in Bartolomějská Street.
A pod tím stejným jménem ve stejném prostoru, což vlastně tady v Bartolomějské ulici.
Leader produces all of its clothes in the Czech Republic, from high-quality materials like silk, cotton, and jersey. The pieces range from simple yet elegant t-shirts to more intricate dresses and unique, nicely tailored pants. It goes without saying that handmade clothes from quality materials will cost more than what your average chain store has on offer. Are Czechs ready to spend a bit extra for special pieces? I put the question to Lucie Kutalková.
Lepší se to, ale furt lidi vlastně nepovažují.
It's getting better, but people still do not consider fashion design real work or real design even. For them, it's still just clothes, and of course the kinds of things we make are a bit more expensive. But they are slowly learning to appreciate quality. We also do tailor-made custom clothes for people, and they have to get used to the fact that if you get something tailor-made or if you buy a piece from a limited edition made from silk, then it's simply going to cost a bit more. I don't think Leader is so expensive. We have some shirts that retail from 1,200 crowns, but also some that start at 400 crowns. But if you're going to buy a silk dress, of which there are maybe two or three and that's it, then that is a whole different dimension. I think people are starting to see that it is hard work, that it is handmade, and that it is in a different league than clothes bought at a chain store.
Něco víc, než co si koupí v těch obchodech všude kolem.
The grey era of communism, which practically wiped out any original fashion design in the country for many decades, certainly has left its mark on the Czech couture scene. I asked Lucie Trnková to describe the current status quo.
Tady to prostě jako všechno tak bylo vlastně přerušený, jakoby veškerý design jako vlastně tím, co se tady jako odehrálo.
Well, more or less anything that had to do with design was interrupted by the communist regime, so it wasn't until after the revolution that it started coming back. I think that it's getting better, that there are plenty of fashion designers who have work to show off. But what we are lacking is the funding, and then there is another big difference. Abroad, young fashion designers have the opportunity to learn from big fashion houses, do traineeships in big fashion studios. Here, because the Prague and the Czech fashion world is so small, designers are more or less on their own, so it is difficult for them. The only Czech company that cooperates with young designers is Pietro Filippi.
Leader has managed to establish itself on a small and difficult market and has been operating successfully for 7 years. While some of the clothes may not be for everyone's figure, the majority of their creations are very wearable. So what is important when it comes to creating great fashion? Lucie Trnková again.
Samozřejmě je důležité, aby to bylo nositelné, asi důležité, jestli bych si tu věc vzala na sebe já.
Of course, it is important that it is wearable. I ask myself whether I would wear it. Even though you can't just create with yourself and your own proportions in mind, someone might have nicer legs, for example, so you can make a short skirt for that kind of customer. Another important element is that we want it to be simple and functional, but have a detail that makes it interesting.
Jednoduchý a funkční, ale jako něčím, nějakým detailem třeba zajímavý.
Most of the Leader designs are for women, but their newest collection under the motto, I Love Your Boyfriend, incorporates men's fashion into the label. Lucie Kotáková says so many men would come inside the store with their girlfriends and be disappointed that Lida did not have anything for them. After being repeatedly asked why they did not offer any men's fashion, the two designers went ahead and ventured into new territory. The collection was initially based on designs that were sent in by male fashion enthusiasts.
My jsme oslovili pro spolupráci tak přibližně třeba 40 mužů.
We asked some 40 men to collaborate. Men are more aware of what they like to wear and what is missing on the fashion market here. So we asked them to come up with some designs for us, and we chose from those and produced them. And from that men's collection, we came up with a few designs inspired by it for women and also some unisex clothes.
Pánský, něco bylo uni a někdy bylo i pánský i dámský.
In the past, Lida used to do a spring-summer and a fall-winter collection, but they have since decided to adopt a new concept, and collections often flow into one another.
Dřív jsme dělali dokonce i dvě za rok jsme dělali dřív.
We used to do two collections a year, but now we've kind of limited that. We still do two collections a year, but one transitions into the other, so it's not a completely new theme. We figure that it is better to continue a theme and develop it further and use some of the ideas for the fall and winter collection.
A to se dá prostě přehoupnout třeba do podzima do zimy.
An important element of Lida is the collaboration with professionals from other artistic fields, be it photographers, graphic designers, architects, or filmmakers. The list of collaborators is eclectic, to say the least, and includes names of artists such as rapper Vladimir 518, composer and musician Jan P. Mucho, and graphic designer Olga Benešová. Lida also regularly works together with architect Mirko Neckáš, who designs the changing interiors of the store and is behind the production design of the label's fashion shows. Among the more famous collaborators of the company was the late architect Jan Kaplický. Lucie Kutálková describes the collections her and Lucie Trnková worked on with him.
To byla kolekce Lida Deja Vu a Lida Kaplický, kdy vlastně
Those were the collections Lida Deja Vu and Lida Kaplický. The collaboration grew out of the fact that we were making the wedding dress for his wife to be, and then he asked us if we didn't want to work together with him, and he had plenty of ideas. So out of that, the first two collections were born, with some of his and some of our designs, and we discussed those together a lot. And then we started working on another collection with some of his ideas, but unfortunately he died before it was completed. We decided to still go ahead and finish the project because we considered it important.
Téměř druhý den rozhodli, že to stejně doděláme. Mysleli jsme si, že to je důležitý dodělat.
Lida's designers continue to come up with original ways of promoting their label. For example, through short films which feature the company's clothes. One such project was shot in true guerrilla fashion in Berlin in 2006. The two designers traveled there with their photographers, crew, and actors, and filmed at several locations throughout the city without obtaining the proper permits. But it is this playful approach that sets Lida apart from other labels. So what are the designer team's plans for the future of the label?
Máme vlastně za působení vlastně víc než 7 let jsme udělali spoustu zakázek.
We're hoping to photograph all the different made-to-order pieces that we have done, because there have been so many and we kind of lost track of them. We have done wedding dresses, company outfits, a whole lot of really interesting custom clothes. So that's something we really want to compile pictures of. And then, of course, our internet store, because we get a lot of tourists who come in and ask us about it. Sometimes we send pieces to customers abroad, but it's not the same as if they could just look us up online.
Samozřejmě, jestli je možné koupit na internetu nebo tak.
For now, interested fashion enthusiasts will have to go to the brick-and-mortar store at Bartolomejská 1 in Prague, or check out the label's Facebook page, which features a lot of photographs of the interesting creations by Lida. That was this week's Arts, devoted to the Czech fashion label Lida. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with Soundcheck, our Czech language learning program brought to you this time by Daniela Lazarova.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn useful phrases through song lyrics. Today's song is by the current teenage idol Eva Farna and is called Zlata Dolože, which coincidentally is the phrase to listen out for. The phrase Zlata Dolože means going from the mud into a puddle. In other words, going from bad to worse, and is the Czech equivalent of the English saying from the frying pan into the fire. Or else you can say z deště pod okap, which means going from the rain under the gutter. Another way of saying that things are going badly is to say jde to z kopce, which means things are going downhill, or jde to do háje, which is frequently used in colloquial Czech and means it's going to the grove or it is headed for a dead end. When something can't get any worse, Czechs say that whatever it is has arrived at the grove, je to v háji, or je to zabitý, meaning it's dead. A rather more polite way of expressing the same sentiment is to use numericals and say jde to od deseti k pěti. In other words, things are going from 10 to 5. I hope you don't get to use that phrase too often and that for you, things always go the other way around. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou. Daniela Lazarova with Soundcheck wrapped up our English show for today. Please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. The postal address here is Vinohradská 12-12099, Prague 2. The email address is english@radio.cz. As always, everything you've heard in the program can also be found at radio.cz. There you will discover a huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from myself, Sarah Baruska, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening, and goodbye.